This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. A new message from Saeed Abedini. Gruber is subpoenaed for his records. How many millions did he make from Obamacare? More on the CIA report and the fight against Obama's illegal immigration order.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Because it's safe on the side of caution.
Our reviews indicate that the detention and interrogation program produced useful intelligence that helped the United States thwart attack plans, capture terrorists, and save lives. But let me be clear. We have not concluded that it was the use of EITs within that program that allowed us to obtain useful information from detainees subjected to them.
You're saying that this led to actionable intelligence?
Absolutely.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
The cause and effect relationship between the use of EITs and useful information subsequently provided by the detainee is, in my view, unknowable. It is our considered view that the detainees who were subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques provided information that was useful and was used in the ultimate operation to go against bin Laden. Intelligence information from the individuals who were subjected to EITs provided information that was used in that. Again, I am not going to attribute that to the use of the EITs.
History will judge us by our commitment to a just society governed by law and the willingness to face an ugly truth and say never again.
Hey, hey, this is dangerous.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll go into more on the CIA report that was released. A report that we believe is very dangerous, a report we believe should not have been released, a report that we believe relitigates the same issues, that it's not torture, they're enhanced interrogation techniques. And John Brennan, who is the Obama National Security Advisor, then becomes the head of the CIA, was at the CIA during the time of all these actions. He did very rare for a CIA director, a press conference yesterday, we just played some of that in the open, where he first said it was very clear that the enhanced interrogation techniques actually provided useful information to get bin Laden. That was pretty breaking in a sense, and certainly different than the Senate report, Bite 3.
It is our considered view that the detainees who were subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques provided information that was useful and was used in the ultimate operation to go against bin Laden.
Now, again, can't be much clearer than that, but then he does go back, I think, and tries. He doesn't want to conflict too much with the administration he serves, the president who appointed him, because he then says it's kind of unknowable. Bite 2.
The cause and effect relationship between the use of EITs and useful information subsequently provided by the detainee is, in my view, unknowable.
So he's saying certainly people who were subjected to this did provide the information. He just doesn't know if that's why they did. And I think there he's just hedging. I think what we got in reality was very clear. This worked. And that's how he opened up the press conference. I want to take your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. A big announcement, too, in that brief that we are filing along with the 20 states, 26 states, I believe, who have filed against the Obama administration's illegal action on immigration, the executive power there. We are going to be representing House Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlatte, Congressman from Virginia. You can be part of that. We want to represent you along with Chairman Goodlatte of the House Judiciary Committee. Call now, 877-989-2255, and make sure you're on this brief. That's 877-989-2255. Do you want to talk to us on air? Our phone lines are open. Here's the number you call, 1-800-684-3110 for your questions and comments. 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org. Support us if you can.
In bypassing Congress, President Obama's overreach in taking immigration action is not only unlawful, but unconstitutional as well. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why we're engaged on all fronts. We continue to push to defund the president's reckless plan. Our work continues in Congress, and now we're focusing on the courts. The ACLJ is backing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now, you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Take your phone calls on that 1-800-684-3110. And this is significant because the CIA director rarely does 45-minute long press conferences where he takes questions from the press in that kind of format because of the nature of the Central Intelligence Agency and the work it does, the clandestine work it does to keep Americans safe around the world and at home. Jonathan Gruber, new video. Seriously, not kidding. This is not from the testimony. This is more video. Remember, now, he's now said, I'm not really the architect. I was trying to make myself look smart. And, I'm not really the architect. Even though I've made millions of dollars off this, I sure have made lots of money. I created the model, and I went out and sold Obamacare to all the states, and they had to pay me to sell it. Who paid him? Us, all of us. And we know right now he's been paid upwards of $6, $7 million just from the federal government directly. All the money he's making is coming through the Affordable Care Act. So it's going, even the state money is going to the states from the federal government and then back to Gruber. So it's all federal. Right now we know it's upwards of maybe $8 million. A lot of money to me for someone who makes it about 5 years. But check out this new video and then we'll tell you about what's just happened with Gruber. Breaking news out this morning by 11.
You're hearing a lot of discussion now about the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, which passed last March 23rd. Full disclaimer, I'm going to describe it objectively, but I helped write it. So I'll be objective. I'll try to be objective, but just full disclaimer, I was involved in writing the legislation. So there is some bias involved here.
And now Gruber has been subpoenaed. He has been subpoenaed by Daryl Eisen, the House Oversight Committee, because Than Bennett, the ACLJ's Director of Government Affairs, with me. This is a real deal here because unlike some of the government officials who go back and forth with executive privilege and all of that, Gruber's a private citizen. He was getting paid as a contractor, still is getting paid contract money, millions of dollars. But you know, he's having to do this on his own. He doesn't have the Department of Justice or the IRS protecting him. And now he's been subpoenaed because he didn't provide the full list of how much he was making off of his consulting for the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, he didn't provide that before he came before the committee. And they actually tried repeatedly, Jordan, to give him a way out of this subpoena. There was a long series of questions. The most significant of one came from Jim Jordan from Ohio asking him, listen, just tell us how much you were paid, all of the different ways that you were paid to not only author this, if you don't like the phrase architect, we'll call you an author, tell us all of the ways that you were paid to market it. He would not answer those questions. And they said, listen, we know you did not disclose him. in our in your disclosure form, but just tell us and we won't have to subpoena you. He would not do that, so the subpoena came down today. He's going to be back before the Oversight Committee. Well, he's either going to be back or he's going to provide documents that tell us exactly how much he made promoting this law.
So there we are on Gruber. And folks, again, if you missed that this week, and I don't want to get into all of it again, the calling people stupid and then being called to testify and he's trying to downplay himself. Remember, that's a new video out from 2010, right after the law's passage and right after it was signed into law, where he's saying he wrote it. He was one of the writers. So I guess co-author is better than architect, and maybe he'll say that. But the truth is, he put together the modeling, and he was paid the kind of money that an architect would be for a plan like this, because it's a major healthcare overhaul. We disagree with it. We hope it falls at the Supreme Court. This summer, we find out that Obamacare is gutted, and we work hard. You know, we support the legislative options. We support the legal options. We're preparing briefs in that as well. But at the end of the day, you should be updated on what happened this week. Go to ACLJ.org. We've got all the coverage there as well. There's a new update on Saeed Abedini, the American imprisoned in Iran, who unfortunately looks like he'll be spending yet another Christmas. This will be Christmas number three, away from his wife, away from his two children, Nagme and their children, Rebecca and Jacob. I'll get to that update in the next segment of the broadcast. I want to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Danny calling in from Maine on line one. Danny, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Thank you for taking my phone call. First of all, I'd just like to say, you know, thank you so much for the attention, the focus you bring to these important social issues. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
What I would like to say is that I work for all these different agencies that you speak of, DEA, CIA. I work for the Director of Law Enforcement Information Sharing Initiatives at the Department of Homeland Security for over 25 years. I was with the DEA in Pakistan, Peshawar, Pakistan, from 2000 to 2002. And, you know, while I was there, you know, our sources were involved with the capture of Abu Zubaydah, who led to the capture of Sheikh Mohammed, who led to all these other successes. Now, what I like to say is that these agencies are very, very ineffective. We don't get our money's worth. We spend $80 billion a year on just intelligence information. It took us 10 years to find Osama bin Laden. And one of those sources that led to Abu Zubaydah's capture came back to us because he couldn't get a hold of his handler from the FBI. Now, what I'd like to say is that using ineffective shortcuts such as torture do not do this country service. And what is important here is that we focus on how ineffective our agencies continue to be. And I hope that this comes out in these hearings. And the fact that he has to speak for 45 minutes speaks to the fact that our agencies are so ineffective. And
I think there's a real discussion that can be made, Danny, too, about whether or not these agencies like the CIA and others, those you mentioned, thank you for your service. So that's service to us, and certainly putting yourself in harm's way. And those sometimes talked about civilian service. The reality is we all know what those of you who work in those situations are doing. And thank you for your service. And I want to say this. It's not for us to oppose the release of this report is not to say that the CIA may have some issues. And I think a lot of that then comes from like a CIA director giving a 45-minute speech and on one hand saying that the enhanced interrogation techniques provided useful information in the ultimate operation to go against bin Laden. All right, well, that doesn't sound like what the Senate report said. But then he goes on to say that the cause and effect relationship between the use of EITs and the useful information is unknowable. But he opened with this. So this is John Brennan, CIA Director Danny, and I think this underscores what you're saying, is it becomes pretty difficult for people who work in these agencies to understand what they should be doing. That's why none of them should be held responsible. It's always the top. These are the people who set the tone, set the direction, and set the rules of the game. Bite one.
Our reviews indicate that the detention and interrogation program produced useful intelligence that helped the United States thwart attack plans, capture terrorists, and save lives. But let me be clear. We have not concluded that it was the use of EITs within that program that allowed us to obtain useful information from detainees subjected to them.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Our reviews indicate that it worked, but we don't know if the EITs were the reason why. And of course, I mean, Brendan is right to an extent. When you have that extensive a program going on, you can't point to one factor saying that's the only reason they did it. But certainly it worked in the sense that the information was provided. It led to the not just capture of bin Laden's, but dozens of other terrorists and thwarting terrorist attacks against the U.S. And now we've put a halt to this, supposedly, and that takes you into a whole question in reality, too, is the CIA and these black sites and things like that. What about that? This was the stuff going on at Guantanamo Bay. Not transparent, very transparent. There's lawyers down there, media down there, taking tours, politicians going down there, elected officials. But then ultimately, you listen to that, you think, okay, pretty clear. Can't say that was the only reason we got the information, but it certainly helped, basically, from the CIA director. And so that, again, it undercuts the entire report from the Senate, which he said was like an indictment. It was like an indictment from a prosecutor.
Yeah, there are really two parts of this. I mean, the first part is the one you've been talking about. Did the enhanced interrogation techniques work? And I don't think there's any question after Brendan talked yesterday that they did work. Okay, would we have got this information from the people that were subjected to these kind of techniques anyway? Well, maybe. Who knows that? But I've got to tell you, Jordan, I was here on 9/11. I wouldn't want to take that chance. If we got the information that we needed from the people that were subjected to these techniques, then I think it was well worth it. But really, maybe even the more important point of this is the individual officers that were engaging in these kind of interrogations. Remember, the Congress was briefed. At least selective members of Congress, including Dianne Feinstein, were briefed about these techniques, and an opinion was requested from the Department of Justice, and the ruling came down that this was legal. So now to go back and relitigate it, those individual officers were acting under a command, and that command was deemed to be legal at the time. So to now put the blame on them, I think, is wholly inappropriate, especially coming from someone who was briefed on it.
Folks, we're going to continue to talk about this when we come back from the next break. If you're holding on the line to talk to us, we are going to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110 is the number to reach us if you want to be on the air. 1-800-684-3110. As you know, we are filing a brief in support of the over 25 states who have filed a lawsuit in federal court led by Texas. But again, now a majority of states in the United States have joined this lawsuit against President Obama's action on immigration, this executive action, and what we believe is unconstitutional and illegal. Initially, we said we're going to be representing you on the brief, and we are. But guess who you can now join with being a part of that brief? The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Remember, my dad testified before the committee last week. Congressman Bob Goodlatte, he is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He will be on our brief. We're representing him, but we want to represent you, too. So join us, join the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee in fighting back against President Obama's illegal action. Call our toll-free number now. It doesn't cost a thing to add your name to this brief and be a part of history. Call 877-989-2255. Toll-free number 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the brief online. Waste the night away
with us. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In bypassing Congress, President Obama's overreach in taking immigration action is not only unlawful, but unconstitutional as well. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why we're engaged on all fronts. We continue to push to defund the president's reckless plan. Our work continues in Congress, and now we're focusing on the courts. The ACLJ is backing facing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now, you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to JSEC Yo Live. We are going to be taking your phone calls. First, I promise a new update on Pastor Saeed Abedini. It is posted online at aclj.org. But as we enter into the second part of our holiday season, the most important holiday, as we begin the preparations for celebration of Christmas and we're with friends and family and at church, remember Pastor Saeed. Remember him in your prayers. Remember all of the persecuted, but you know Saeed Abedini. Pray for him. Pray for the persecuted, but don't forget Saeed's family. His American kids and his American wife, Nagma Abedini, and of course his two children, Rebecca and Jacob. Rebecca, 8 years old, Jacob, 6 years old. Remember them in their prayers. I know today Nagma is traveling. We were going to have her on the broadcast, and she's traveling the country on behalf of her husband to secure his release. We represent the family. Here is the latest update. It's also posted at aclj.org. So please remember Saeed in your prayers and his family this holiday season. Earlier this week, and for the first time in more than a month, folks, that's how long it's been since someone was able to visit Saeed in prison. One of his family members was able to go and visit the prison so we could get an update from him, because remember, that's the only communication link we have or the family has. He has now been wrongfully in prison more than 2 years. This will be the third Christmas he will spend behind bars if he is not released. And what would be miraculous before Christmas, of course, we pray for that right now, too. We got time to pray for that. But Saeed has expressed that his pain is increasing. Remember, he was subjected to numerous harsh beatings in prisons and has sustained prolonged internal injuries from that, mostly in the stomach area, stomach bleeding, internal bleeding. As his pain increases, so does his need, so does the need for his humanitarian release. And we believe he's got to be able to return to his wife and children here in the United States. He still remains encouraged. In fact, he found out about the Thanksgiving campaign where people sit out an empty place at the table for Saeed on their Thanksgiving table and to recognize other persecuted Christians. And this is what Nagma had to say. Saeed has been made aware of the empty Thanksgiving plate settings to remember him and the persecuted church. I had gathered the pictures you all had shared to show it to Saeed. He was so encouraged and moved by it. Remember, the family member was able to go in and visit him at the prison. Not Nagma, obviously. Nagma's here in the United States, not back in Iran. Saeed continues to have severe pain and would appreciate your prayers. He has felt the presence of Jesus ever so near to him during this time and has felt all of your prayers. He wants you to know how your prayers have crossed prison walls and how the Lord has been ministering to him. He wanted to thank you all for it. Again, how humble is that? He's in prison thanking you for your prayers. And I know many of you out there are praying and you're doing everything you can possible for Saeed's release. You activate when we ask you to sign a petition or to pick up the phone. If we ask you to pick up the phone, you do it. With the third Christmas approaching without Saeed, this is from Nagma, the journey is quite difficult. There are a lot of unknowns regarding Saeed's release and the timing, but both Saeed and I are trusting the Lord. Jesus Christ has never failed nor forsaken us. Thank you for your continued prayers. Folks, again, we want to remember this Christmas season, Saeed and the persecuted. Remember, for those all of us who came to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness, as our scripture says. So folks, again, share these stories up at aclj.org, this latest update, but I wanted to take some time to update all of you on Pastor Saeed Abedini. Let's get right to the phones. Roger in Florida, switching gears back to the CIA issue on line four. Roger, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Thank you, Jordan. I signed your petition, and I hope others would do the same thing. But my question was, is U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein aware of the harm done to our country by releasing this information as to whether or not, for example, our friends can trust us?
Well, I think that she is somewhat aware. If we got the soundbite, Nick, and guys in our radio studio, let's play that. She was asked about it by Wolf Blitzer.
If Americans are killed as a result of this report and they tell you that, I assume you would feel guilty about that.
I would feel very badly, of course. I mean, what do you think, Wolf Blitzer?
So now, here's the thing. She said, oh, she'll feel very badly. But she doesn't care, is what she's saying. Is that she knows that could be possible. The government said it. There's terror warnings all across the world right now for Americans, for American embassies, and for our service members. And we're on alert. And so what was her answer? Ah, of course I care, but it doesn't matter. You know, that didn't impact my decision. And I want you to play this. Let's flash back to a couple days ago, because when Josh Earnest, because we heard now from the CIA director, John Brennan, who said these techniques worked. Here is how Josh Earnest tried to answer the question, White House press secretary, when asked about the effectiveness of the enhanced intelligence techniques, so the interrogation techniques, Bite 7.
Did they produce actionable intelligence? Just a yes or no. You can think the tactics shouldn't have been done, but were they effective in any way?
John, as you pointed out, there are a variety of views across the federal government. The president would say, and this is clear from the president's decision to outlaw these techniques, that even if they did, that it wasn't worth it, and it did not enhance the national security of the United States of America.
Well, if they did, then it certainly did enhance our national security, so that's wrong. But if it did... And the fact that they say, Than, that it doesn't matter because they thought it was wrong. You know, this is when I think, and look what's happened in the world since President Obama's gotten his way on these kind of policies. The more prisoner releases from Gitmo, trying to do that. At the same time, we're battling ISIS by air, sometimes on foot, for these special operations that have not gone on so well, including in Yemen against Al-Qaeda. That threat continues. Bombings in the U.S. Inspired by radical Islam. We've had a number of incidents. Nadal Hassan, the list can go on. And, of course, now we're engaged in full-on war, basically, with the Islamic State. And as you said, I was in Washington, D.C., too. I was an intern at the Department of Justice under John Ashcroft. The Attorney General was getting so much flack this week because he was there. I'm proud of what he did by signing off on this. I know that they took their time to make sure. They weren't giving the CIA blanket approval to go do whatever you want to these people. These were serious decisions made. That's what makes America great right there, that we go into that much detail and that much research and that much discussion and analysis with our smartest, best people in government to determine what is and what is not okay. That we don't just kind of give these blanket general statements. It's very specific. Now that's come back to haunt the CIA and the Department of Justice. But ultimately, Than, it's as if, what, in the future, do we want them to just say, oh, you can kind of do this, don't do this, and then there's no text about waterboarding. Then there's no text about making people stand up too long.
Yeah, when I saw Josh Earnest say this, I literally had to rewind the tape to make sure that what he said was actually what he said, that it, even if it got actionable intelligence that led to Osama bin Laden, it wouldn't have been worth it. And that is just shocking to me, Jordan. I remember what it was like to have Flight 93 in the air, unaccounted for, heading toward my location. It ultimately, of course, went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But to suggest that even if it had yielded actionable intelligence that led to Osama bin Laden, which John Brennan told us yesterday, Jordan, that's no longer a debate.
Yep.
That is now fact. It did lead to information that led to the capture of Osama bin Laden. To say that would not have been worth it, that is just staggering to me.
We got more of the broadcast coming up. If you want to talk to us live on the air, 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. Folks, the House Judiciary Chairman, the Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, Congressman Goodlatte, has joined our brief. Supporting those 26 states that have filed a lawsuit in Texas federal court against President Obama's illegal immigration executive action. We are also representing you, so you can join with the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee in the ACLJ's brief. It doesn't cost you a thing, but you have to pick up your phone and call now. Here's the toll-free number to do it, 877-989-2255. And this is it, folks. This brief is getting filed probably early next week. So call now, 877-989-2255, or go to ACLJ.org. If you want your name on this brief, this is the last opportunity to do so. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The ACLJ is backing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message, President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Secular. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A new update on Pastor Saeed. I read the whole update, including comments from Nagma Abedini. He was finally able to be visited in prison by a family member in Iran. He was updated about what happened during Thanksgiving and people leaving out place settings. He is praying for all of you. He's thanking all of you. And that's in our update on aclj.org, so you can read it and share it with your friends and family. But remember to keep Saeed in your prayers and his family in your prayers for the holidays. I'm sure next week we'll talk more about Saeed as well. But that update, again, is at aclj.org. It's all our social media outlets as well through Facebook and Twitter. You'll be able to find it there too, so you can share it with your friends and family. I want to go right to the phones. A lot of calls coming in. We're talking about a pretty wide variety of issues, but I do want to get to also the whole omnibus bill, this government spending bill, and I know that's one of Than Bennett's favorite things to talk about. Let's go to Harry in Tennessee online too. And Harry, we can figure out now what exactly this cromnibus is.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed, although we did have three representatives from Tennessee that voted against it, Marsha Blackburn, John Duncan Jr., and Scott Desjarlais. But how does this affect your lawsuit? Because now the law is going to say they have money for amnesty, they have money for Obamacare. Can your lawsuit stop that?
Well, the lawsuit that we're talking about is not Obamacare, and the lawsuit against Obamacare heading to the Supreme Court has nothing to do with the funding of it. It's whether or not the subsidy provision is allowed, whether you can get subsidies in a state that does not have its own exchange. So that's that. It's not part of that. Certainly, I think the defunding efforts you're going to see when Republicans take over the Senate, but they haven't done that yet. Than, let's explain to people how that worked, though, so far. I mean, this is going back and forth still between the House and the Senate, because it was done in a way. I'm not saying it was done perfectly. I'm not saying I love every part of this, but it was done in a way. It's called a cronibus because it's like a continuing resolution omnibus bill. It's not a full budget, but it is it pays the government for more than a year or at least a year forward. And it also comes down to there are certain government agencies that are not getting their full budget, correct?
Yeah, I mean, actually the hybrid nature of it, the fact that it's both partially a CR and partially an omnibus is really exactly what we've been asking for all along, Jordan. What we asked them to do was separate out the Department of Homeland Security funding and not give a full year funding for that so that when the new Congress sits, you can actually have this funding fight over the immigration issue. They did that. The Department of Homeland Security is only funded till the end of February, while the rest of government is funded all the way through the fiscal year at the end of September. And listen, there are some that make a very credible point that you should have had that fight right now. I'm here to tell you, I would have liked to have seen that vote, but let's just be very honest with our listeners. If we had that vote now, Harry Reid would have blocked it in the Senate. So it would have been a show vote. You would have come back and you would have ended up with exactly the deal you got here. This was really the best position you were ever going to end up with on the funding of the executive action issue. It tees up a fight in February. Come February, Jordan, there will be no excuse for the Republicans in the House and the Republicans in the Senate not to face this head on.
Folks, I want to continue to take your phone calls. I think Than explained that for everybody and doesn't like we're heading towards any kind of shutdown. It will be a deadline kind of thing. Likely will be settled by this weekend. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Laura in Ohio on line four. I want to talk about this as well because it came up, because the life issue came up yesterday on the broadcast because Gruber wrote a paper, academic paper, he loves those academic papers, about how abortion has saved money. It's been better for the country because we're getting rid of the marginal children through positive selection. Through positive selection, not natural, positive selection, where there's an outside device going in and taking out, in minority communities and things like that. We'll take those calls when we come back from the break. So, Laura, hang on the line. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110 or call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to get involved with our brief. Our brief. Now we represent not just you, also the House Judiciary Committee Chairman, Bob Goodlatte. Congressman Goodlatte's on that brief, fighting back against President Obama's illegal immigration executive action. Call now. This is the final time to add your name because this brief's got to be filed. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
In bypassing Congress, President Obama's overreach in taking immigration action is not only unlawful, but unconstitutional as well. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why we're engaged on all fronts. We continue to push to defund the president's reckless plan. Our work continues in Congress, and now we're focusing on the courts. The ACLJ is backing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Jay Sekulow Live, we are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 1-800-684-3110. Had a little clock issue there, so I wanted to take Laura's call because, remember, the issue of abortion came up yesterday with the testimony with Jonathan Gruber, because not only the architect, also, you know, as we played today, new video, because he was trying to say, I'm not really the architect. I was just trying to make myself the PhD from MIT, MIT professor, sound smarter to my peers, my very smart and brilliant peers. But in this video, he says, I was one of the authors. So a co-author, he's fine with using that term, you know, thought architect was not correct. Now, the mainstream media outlets were fine calling him architect. Let me play for you some of what Gruber said in this back and forth on abortion, because I think it's very important for people to understand. And so, guys, where do those bites start? All right, let's start with it. Congressman Thomas Massie, Republican from Kentucky, and then we're going to go to Laura's call, but I want to set the stage for people. Asked Gruber about this bite 31.
In 1997, you co-authored a paper entitled Abortion Legalization and Child Living Circumstances, Who is the Marginal Child? On page 20, you conclude that abortion legalization appears to be associated with an improvement in the average living circumstances and birth outcomes among a birth cohort. And on page 26, you state that your research indicates that the legalization of abortion saved the government $14 billion in welfare payments through 1994.
And then let's go to the questioning as well for everybody who may have missed this. So we'll play bite 32 and bite 33. This is a Congressman Massie again. Then it goes a back and forth between Gruber and him.
Is providing more access to abortion, is that a worthy social outcome to achieve cost savings for the government?
That is not what my paper was about. It wasn't a philosophical paper. It was about empirical facts.
By 1993, all cohorts under the age 18 were born under legalized abortion. and we estimate steady state savings of $1.6 billion per year from positive selection. What did you mean by positive selection?
What the paper did was look at...
What did you mean by positive selection in abortion?
In that paper, we were studying the characteristics of children who were born before and after abortion was legalized. If by comparing those characteristics, you can infer the characteristics of the kids
who
were not
born. So what you inferred, I find chilling. What you inferred is that if we reduce the number of people or children born, life will be better for the rest of us still living.
Folks, that is why Laura is calling in, because we had some calls about this. That, again, more about Gruber, the connection to Obamacare and abortion, the defense of abortion. Gruber, again, he's kind of the salesperson, remember, for Obamacare. He's also a salesperson for the greatness of abortion, because it gets rid of those marginal children. And if we look back and through positive selection, the characteristics of the children born are certainly better than those children who weren't born. That's what we can infer. Laura, thanks for hanging on. I wanted to set the stage for people. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. And I thank you for what you do. I called in because about 31 years ago, I went into Planned Parenthood only to get a test to see if I was pregnant. And I was in poverty. We didn't have a lot of money. That's why we went there, because we wanted a free test. So the test was positive. Immediately, they rushed us into an office, and they suggest abortion. And I'm 19. I'm like, I didn't come here for that, you know. And at the time, I wasn't a Christian or anything, but I was like, no, I don't think, you know. And it's almost like this real pressure to do this. And I'm so thankful today that I did not get an abortion. I have two beautiful twins that are very successful. So that was my comment, because they just rushed me into an office, and here I am, this young little 19-year-old, all confused, and all I wanted was a pregnancy test.
You know, and again, and Laura, I want to thank you for your phone call, for telling your story, and we've heard too many of these stories before. And how is that, you know, how does that impact you when you look at things, when you hear these reports like Gruber saying, well, see, abortion, it's good for us, it's good for the community, and it economically, you know, it's the right thing.
Well, it infuriates me, because you know, I was in poverty, and I feel that I was one of the people probably that would have been targeted to say, hey, you know, we don't need this life, as it were, two lives, you know, in here to, because you're not gonna succeed, or you're in poverty, you can't afford this child or children, as it were. And so it infuriates me that he would say that, but I'm not surprised.
You know, again, folks, and Laura, let me thank you for your phone call telling that personal story. Let's go right back to the phones. A lot to talk about, and I want to get to as many calls as possible. Mary Ellen in Illinois, on line five. Mary Ellen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jordan. I'd like to bring in 2 points about what you've been discussing today. My first point is we're at war, and this business about the interrogation issue, to me, it's ridiculous, because if you compare what other countries do to our hostages and POWs. Now, my second point is, I think that the administration brought this out because President Obama's signature plan was being discussed at these Gruber hearings. And President Obama...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mary Ellen, I said it from the moment before it even happened. I totally agree with you. And let me say on your first point, I want to make sure we stick on that, too. Than, my position on that, too, is that torture is wrong. This wasn't torture. So using that kind of terminology is just that anti-American, we're not exceptional, we shouldn't be like the other side. So we don't have to go to the point of saying, well, look what they did, so we should be able to do worse. You know, we should start, you know, really physically, violently torturing people. No, that's not what America does. And no, we're not advocating that. And also, that's not what happened. The CIA didn't do that. So we don't need to be – this administration loves equivocating. They love saying, well, look at them, look at us, if we're just like them. But, hey, we're not just like them.
Two things. The CIA requested from the Department of Justice and informed, briefed select members of Congress and asked for authorization to engage in this enhanced interrogation technique. They got it. The Department of Justice told them it was legal, told them it was not torture, and the Congress members that were briefed, including Dianne Feinstein, did not object. So you're exactly right on point number one. The other point that the caller is making, Jordan, this is also a very important one. Let's think about who we were talking about. We were in a period of war, and these were enemy combatants. These were masterminds of 9/11. These were people who were associated with Osama bin Laden in some cases. They were people with ideology that we see out there, the likes of ISIS. These were not just your common criminals. These were enemy combatants. And it's very important to remember that different rules of engagement enter into play when you're talking about enemy combatants.
Folks, again, I want to try to take as many of your phone calls as possible. Let me remind you again, breaking news really from us, we are going to be in that lawsuit we're filing, the brief, you know, in support of the 26 states now, Thad?
I think it's 24 at this
24,
point.
Yeah. 24 states, and there's probably more that will be added, against President Obama's executive action on immigration. We are filing a brief. We said we're going to be representing you, and we are. This is the final day to join. You're going to be joining the House Judiciary Chairman, Bob Goodlatte. Congressman Goodlatte has agreed to sign on to our brief at the ACLJ. So you're in good company there, folks. My dad testified before his committee last week. Call and add your name. It's the final day to do so. We've got to get this brief out the door. 877-989-2255 is the toll-free number you call. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and sign the brief online. It's also a great time of year if you can support the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge, so anything you donate is doubled for us at ACLJ. You can do it at aclj.org or by phone. You can call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. Let's go to Richard in Nebraska, who's been holding on line one. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all the hard work that you do for our country. We appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Richard.
I just want to make a comment about the torture techniques that are being used down there. I just recently come across some information written about Christopher Columbus, and the waterboarding was a torture technique used in the Spanish Inquisition, and so I think it's just beneath America to use that technique, although I understand the importance of getting the information. Personally, I just feel that, you know, there's power in the Word of God, that if we embrace the Bible and try and use that in some way, there's wisdom or something in there that we could use to get that information and win this war.
Well, you know, I agree with you. You use all techniques, but I don't think God tells us when we're defending our nation that we have to be we don't use all options available. I mean, Richard, you're not against it when we kill people on the battlefield, are you? I mean, we take their life, and we don't have time necessarily to share the gospel with them.
I'm a veteran, and I, you know,
so thank you
that.
For your service. So you understand. So we're on the same page here. Listen, I think we can all agree, we can have disagreements on the techniques used. I personally don't believe that waterboarding and the other things involved there are tantamount to torture. You may go back and look at what happened during the Spanish Inquisition. It may have been pretty bad, and I have a feeling they weren't doing it the same way, and it wasn't such a limited group. And remember, this was all approved. So we're again, this is about the CIA. Not the people who approved it, the Department of Justice, which is also interesting. They're trying to say it's the CIA's fault. Call now, folks. We've got a lot coming up in the next part of the broadcast, but I want to make sure you're on this brief. Final day, fighting back against President Obama's action, illegal action on immigration, and you're going to be joining in the representation of the brief, the House Judiciary Chairman. So in good company, call. Final day, 877-989-2255. You call that toll-free number now, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In bypassing Congress, President Obama's overreach in taking immigration action is not only unlawful, but unconstitutional as well. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why we're engaged on all fronts. We continue to push to defund the president's reckless plan. Our work continues in Congress, and now we're focusing on the courts. The ACLJ is backing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message: President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We're talking about a host of issues today, folks. Everything from President Obama's executive overreach on the area of immigration to the CIA report that was released by Senator Feinstein, the motivations that were behind that, folks. I think there's ample evidence that it was politics at play. It was a personal dispute with the CIA, and it was the fact that Senator Dianne Feinstein was going to be leaving her chairman's post when the new Congress sits. Unfortunately, I think all of that was at play in the release of this report. Jay actually had an opportunity after yesterday's broadcast to go on another radio broadcast, that of Janet Parshall's. Many of you are probably aware of her program, familiar with her program. Jay was on with her yesterday to discuss all of these issues, and I thought it would be good for you to hear the perspective that came out of Janet's show with Jay on as a guest. So let's go ahead and roll that interview now. Again, this is Jay on Janet Parshall's radio broadcast.
I could go 5 hours now with my friend Jay Sekulow, who's joining us. He's chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. And boy, do we appreciate all the things he's doing and all the great causes that he's serving, including his almost prophetic tone in his book, The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Boom, up there, New York Times bestseller. And I think it's paradoxical that on the day that the Senate puts out this report talking about CIA interrogation techniques, that we're also talking with Jay as he talks about the rise of ISIS. First question out of the gate: are we at war or not? Is there an enemy out there who seeks to destroy us or not? First, identify the enemy. Second, put together your battle plan. So, Jay, thank you so much for being here. I got to get your take on this. Was this for political reasons? Why now would we be talking about the CIA interrogation techniques?
Well, you know, I looked at it today, Janet, very much like you did. You see the Senate on one hand. You've got this disclosure of our interrogation techniques. First of all, this is not new news. Everybody knows what these interrogation techniques. And by the way, as we say in the book Rise of ISIS, the terrorists certainly don't play by the same rules that the United States play by. I mean, we're not beheading Danny Pearls. We're not beheading people that disagree with us. We use interrogation techniques to get information. But then you look at the same time, the very same day this happens, guess who's before the United States House of Representatives? And that is Jonathan Gruber. The famous non-architect of Obamacare, the $7 million man, or whatever that number is going to be. I think it's going to end up being $10 million in fees this guy got for being the principal spokesperson. But the reality is, you ask yourself that we knew that, the White House knew that was going on. So this is the day right before Christmas, while we're engaged in a conflict where we've got men and women in harm's way. Now the president decides, or the Senate decides, let's release this report. To me, it's absurd. And why in the world? First of all, I wouldn't have released it, period, number one.
Right.
Number two, I certainly wouldn't have released it now. And number three, I wouldn't have done it while I'm doing this, unless I'm doing this as a deflection technique, which this White House, whatever you want to say, they've been really good at. They're great at deflection. They can pull something off the news in a nanosecond. Except for programs like yours and others that, stay on it. The fact of the matter is, in a nanosecond, the news changes. Remember last week we're talking about immigration overreach by the executive.
That's right.
Anybody talking about that today? No, because we're talking about this. This is what they're good at this. I mean, you say whatever we want to say. He gets an A for this. The guy is the, obstructionist in chief. He'd get the award.
Timing is everything, as they say in music and in politics.
Yeah.
So because of your book, Rise of ISIS, I want to talk about this because I guess I'm interested in the psychology of the enemy, the art of war. You and I hear this all the time in D.C. So I'm beheading people. I'm trying to wreak mayhem. I'm trying to cause fear and trepidation in the hearts of the infidel. That would be you and me. And now a report comes out from the United States government. And by the way, they don't see Republican, Democrat. They don't see left and right. They see America, the great Satan. And the great Satan has said, oops, we made a mistake in our interrogation techniques. I can't see how that does anything but buoy the enemy to say, keep doing what we're doing.
You know, we look at it as, you know, some on the left are saying this is what the American democracy and the Constitutional Republic's all about, this transparency. And ISIS is saying, what a great recruiting tool we just got. I mean, that's what the failure to understand that, you know, look, the president didn't want to. First, ISIS wasn't Islamic. Remember that? There was nothing Islamic about ISIS. You tell that to Khalif Ibrahim that it's nothing about Islam. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And not all Muslims obviously agree with them. But this denial notion that we're in self-denial and who we're an enemy with is dangerous. That's number one. Number two, and this is the thing that bothers me, I think, is the deepest nature of this. What was the point of doing all this? Right. It becomes a recruiting tool for the enemy. We know that. So what was the point here? Was there anything in this report that we have not known for 5 years? Nothing new?
Again, so it raises the question of why now? And if deflection was the point, then score one. Exactly
well,
right.
You know, Janet, they are, I didn't mean to cut you off, they are deflection-based. I mean, the whole last week I testified, your husband was with me, testified for 5 hours on executive overreach. That was only a week ago. And by today, we're talking about, because we have to, there's a report coming out from the Senate, which is overshadowing Gruber's testimony. I mean, this is what they do. They're very good at this.
That's an excellent point. So friends need to understand, all right, here's the Capitol Dome, divide it in half. You got the Senate on one side, you got the House on the other. Where do you think the secular press is going to go? They're going to go to the fact, boo, bad, terrible America. We use torture techniques, which of course we didn't. And there's a world of difference between interrogation and torture. And by the way, this is an old argument. We were having this argument with President Bush, by the way. So this is nothing new, as Jay points out. Then you go to the House side with a man who makes the declaration that basically the American people were too stupid, his words, not mine, to understand what was in the health care bill. And boy, have we had a wake up call. And by the way, for the record, that story is far from over. Between Hobby Lobby and now this idea of federal subsidies versus state subsidies, my attitude is hang on to your ticket stub. We are far from over.
But I agree.
In the meantime, Gruber's statements are being overshadowed by the fact that America now is the king torturer on planet Earth. It bothers me because I'm also seeing another layer here, Jay, and that is had the opportunity to try to do some digging into what's going on with Israel of late. And I'm very concerned that one of the things we're also hearing in town is that we might be moving against Israel in the form of sanctions.
Right.
Because Senator Kerry, not the only one who's wanted to do this, by the way, presidents from way back when have tried to broker peace in the Middle East. But this is the first time we're starting to growl, saying we're going to sanction Israel if they don't stop building and if they don't divide Jerusalem in half like the child before King David. I don't see these things in isolation. I see it as a composite, and it's burdensome for my heart. I'm very concerned about who we are. And the news, by the way, that China now has overtaken the world as the number one economy.
Yep.
America, wake up.
Yeah. Well, on the Israel thing, I mean, here's what you've got. Josh Earnest said, you know, economic penalties were completely unfounded without merit. Here's the problem. Every time they say that, on every issue, what ends up happening? Well, it's not 100% what we're reading in the press, but it's not zero either. So what is it they're doing? This is the administration strategy, and it's been this way for 6 years, and the president got reelected, so this is the, you know, elections have consequences. So what happens? The president makes a statement, or somebody in his administration does, it creates a lot of movement, whether it's a sanction against Israel, whatever it might be. Then they roll it back, say, no, that was never our intent. But then there's that seismic differential that comes after it. It's not 100% of what they wanted to do, but let's say it's 40%. Well, in the Israel situation, I don't know if the administration is going to put penalties in place or not. But the fact that it's even being talked about, because you have to talk about it, is troubling. What does it mean? It means our relationship with our only stable ally in the region is at risk.
Folks, again, that was Jay on with Janet Parshall. Listen, if you want to be a part of this effort at the United States District Court for the Southern District of Texas, pushing back against the president's executive overreach in the area of immigration, which Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution has clearly given authority to Congress over, I want you to call now 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org to add your name to this brief. This brief will be filed with the court. We will also be asking members of Congress to join and add their name to this brief as well. But this will be the critical pushback as the court will decide whether or not the states have been harmed by the president's action and whether or not they will restrain his executive overreach. Call now 877-989-2255 and add your name. We're out on the standing.
The ACLJ is backing a massive federal lawsuit challenging the president's unlawful immigration action filed by multiple states. This lawsuit is critical to stopping the president's action. Now, you can stand with us as we prepare to file an amicus brief in support of this lawsuit. Add your name to our brief right now. Send a message, President Obama's action violates federal law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.